اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الصلوات اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Yesterday we were talking about a very important concept. That was the concept of self-building. Okay, and like we've mentioned for a number of times, and we are going to mention for a number of times, the goal of this self-building, this process of self-building, as we've mentioned, is to reach a point where we do the wajib and stay away from the haram. And we've mentioned once again for a number of times that once we reach that point, the mustahabbat, they will come themselves. There's not that much we need to do when we have reached that point. So it's a point that we have to reach. If we don't reach, we're losing, so to speak. And if we do reach that point, the rest will come. The rest will be there. So that should be our number one priority. As I mentioned, when we go through this month, the first thing that we need to take into consideration is how much are we doing our wajib more? Or in other words, how less are we doing the haram? How less are we falling short? That's the number one thing that should come to our mind. That's our number one measure. Okay? Any other measure, how much Quran have I read? That's important. But it comes after how much wajib have I done. How many times did I do iftar? How many times did I do other good deeds? These are all great, but they come as second and third. Number one is what? It's how much less am I doing sins. Okay. So, yesterday we mentioned this process of self-building, and we said that it has three steps. The first step was what we refer to as muraqabah. And what muraqabah means is, throughout the day, you watch out of what you're doing. You scrutinize what you're going to do before you start doing it. Okay, and this is what they mean by dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This one guy, he was doing Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, with his tasbih the whole time. And one of our imams passed by him. And from what I remember, the followers, the companions, said, look, this guy, he does a lot of dhikr. He remembers Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And what did the imam say? The imam said that, yes, that's correct. But dhikr, the remembrance of God, is not just saying Allahu Akbar and Subhanallah and La ilaha illallah. They asked the imam, they said, what is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because that's how we know the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a means of remembrance. He said, yes, that is a means, but the main means is he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he comes across something that is haram. If he can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that situation, then that's the true remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he can take the pressure or sometimes the difficulty of carrying out what has become wajib upon him. Why? Because he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the true remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything other is a means of reaching that point. Okay? And because it's a means of reaching that point, it's still important. It still has its significance. However, we need to make sure that we're not taking the means as the ends. We're not mistaking the two. The end is for us doing what is wajib or to stay away from what is haram. That is the end. Okay? So the first step that we mentioned was what? Muraqabah. Where on a daily basis, when we wake up in the morning, every action that we want to do, before we think about it, we scrutinize it before we do it. Okay, that's muraqabah. And we mentioned that a very good example of that is fasting. How these days, when like 10 days, 12 days, 13 days of the month has passed by, before you want to eat something, you think about it. Even though for the past 11 months, or let's say 10 months, or 9 months, or whatever, you've been eating whatever you wanted to eat, right? Whenever you came across Whenever you were thirsty, you came across a cup of water, you drank it. Did you sit down and think about that? No, you didn't think about that. You were trained to do that. It's a natural reaction when you're thirsty. Even though that's the case, you've been practicing for 10 days. 10 days you've been practicing. But now when you come across that cup of water, you don't just pick it up. Right? At least the first thing that comes to your mind is that, wait, that 1 second that you think before doing it. So the first thing is muraqabah. And we mentioned that when it comes to muraqabah, things get very tricky. Why? Because there are certain fields that are very, certain issues that are very clear to us. Muraqabah, when it comes to them, is very easy. Right? Why? Because we've already been practicing it. Like fasting is one of those. It's very clear. We can tell, right? That thinking process before doing what we're going to do, it happens. Why? Because we've trained ourselves, right? Alcohol. When you go through, when you go to, you guys have HEB here, right? We had like on the East Coast. We had Wise. I don't know if you've heard of that, but we had Wise and Giant and Safeway. You guys have HEB, right? When you're going through HEB, it never crosses your mind, oh, let me go down the section that sells alcohol and wine. No, it's very clear to you, right? Even if you go down that aisle, you're not going to pick that up and put it in your car and then be like, oh, we can't drink alcohol and put it back. You don't do that. Why are you training? Okay, so certain issues, very clear. Other issues are very tricky, especially when it comes to the tongue. The tongue is probably, it's a part of our body that the hadith says that it takes many to hellfire. This small thing. It takes many to hellfire. And one issue in particular that we were trying to emphasize yesterday was the issue of talking about others. Okay? And in that regard, brothers and sisters, we really need to learn the ahkam about that. Sometimes when you share things with others, of course you don't mean to do anything bad. Right? But simply sharing them with another person is not permissible. I've seen this many times. The brother or the sister tells me, they're talking to me. Right? About issues that don't have to do with me. If it's an issue that has to do with me, it's going to affect my life, right? And he's concerned, that's fine. He can tell me. Of course, that itself comes with a condition that we're going to clarify in just a bit. But things that don't even have to do with me, right? I'm visiting the community, right? His brother comes up to me and says, this actually happened, unfortunately. We were having iftar, and this brother came by and offered some food. Like, it was like extra food. It wasn't the food that the center was giving. It was some desserts, right? And the brother was there. He said, oh, no, thank you. And the brother, he offered me too, and I said, thank you. I'm not going to have it. So he walked by, and he was offering other people. And once he walked away, this brother that was sitting beside me, he said, you know that guy? I said, yeah, what about him? He said, this and that. About his life. It doesn't have to do with me. Right? Please understand that when we say this, we're talking about situations that don't even have to do with me. It's not going to affect my life if that individual has a temper issue. Right? Or if he's not trustworthy. Or that's not that. So when it comes to those issues, when it comes to the tongue in particular, it's very difficult. That's when you really need that muraqabah. You really need that scrutinizing. And if we go through that scrutinizing, then you will understand how easily we talk about each other. How easily we backbite about each other. It's a lot easier than you think. And if you don't go through that process of scrutinizing and practicing that scrutinizing, you will never understand. Haram is more prevalent in our life than you think. It's more prevalent than you think. I'm saying this personally. Okay, I've seen this in my own life. It's more prevalent than you think. When you pay attention to every word you say, every sentence you say, every comment you make, every face you make, then you'll understand that it's a lot more it's a lot more difficult than you and I see it. One condition that I wanted to mention, that condition that we mentioned, yesterday we said that if someone doesn't even come to consult you, right? But you know something that is going to affect his life, okay? You know something that is going to affect his life, you can go ahead and tell him, even if it's about someone else, even if it's their secret, even if it's their life, but it's because he's going to affect another believer, it's okay, you can go and tell them. But it's a very important condition. You have to be sure about what you're saying. You have to be sure about what you're saying. You cannot just go and throw a bomb and then come back and walk away. You cannot just cause fitna and walk away. Right? Say, oh, you're getting married to her? Oh yeah, I heard this and that. I just want you to know that. Yeah, let me walk away now. No, if you're sure about it, if it was a reliable source, then you tell him. If it's not a reliable source, then don't go around telling other people. And quite frankly, 95% of the time, it's not a reliable source. Just because another brother or sister told us, that does not mean it's a reliable source, brothers and sisters. Okay, everything that we say, we've heard it from someone. And that someone is quote-unquote religious. He's a good brother. He's a good sister. No, we have to be sure about it. What does being sure about something mean? You've seen it. That's one example at least. You've seen this person do that. He himself told you that he's done it. These are examples of us being sure. Not just, oh, I heard it from this brother and he's reliable. You know, sometimes we had this competition. There was a competition we had in one of these camps. And we did this competition to show how, when we talk about each other, how easily things get changed, words get changed. The meaning of what we're saying is changed. So what we had was, we had like three or four individuals in each group. Okay, we had three of the brothers and three of the sisters. Okay? And so we told the first person a message, a short passage. And what we said is that, tell the other person what we just told you. And then the second person will tell the third person. And the third person, and this would go on for like four or five times. Believe it or not, what we told the first person, when we heard the fifth person tell us what we had told him or her, it was different. Sometimes major differences. When things go around, they get changed. You cannot be sure about them that easily. One thing I personally learned, this is one thing that I learned from the Hoza, and if it's the only thing I've learned from the Hoza, I won't regret choosing this career, is that reaching certainty, it's very difficult. Reaching certainty, some of the brothers who come to the Hoza, personally, when I went to the Hoza, first thing that I would do is I would reach certainty very quickly. Right? So for example, we were talking about a religious issue. What is Islam's opinion on this issue? And I would say, I've heard this hadith. It must be like this. You know, jumping to conclusions. Reaching certain... And if you ask me at that point, I would honestly tell you I'm sure about this. Right? But when you learn a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, then you understand that in life, reaching certainty is not easy. Being sure that someone did something, that's not easy. You cannot ascertain that very easily. It takes time. So, especially when we're talking about each other, when it comes to personal issues, let's take our time when it comes to reaching a conclusion, becoming certain about something. Yes, if you reach the conclusion, you're 100% sure about it, then you go and you tell that person, even if he doesn't consult you, right? I'm a father and my son is getting married to a girl. I've heard that this girl has issues, or the boy has issues. Either way. Yeah, my son may not come to consult me about that issue, but I need to tell him because I'm concerned about his life. At least if I'm not sure, I tell them, I'm not sure about this. I am not sure about this. This is what I've simply heard. You go do your own research, see if it's true or not. Okay? We can't just sit there, and these two are very different. When you sit there and you say, yeah, she did this, she did that, or you say, no, listen, you're getting married to this individual, I have heard things, but we cannot judge. Therefore, you have to go bring it up with herself or bring it up with himself. The same way the imam did. What did the imam do? Like I said, brothers and sisters, the imam in that story where he saw that individual taking stuff, right, from the person that was selling bread and the person that was selling the pomegranates, when he saw that, there are two approaches that we take. One approach we clearly negate, and that is jumping to conclusions, right? That we clearly negate. Another one is not bringing it up with that individual and just keeping it in there. Just say, oh yeah, I saw him do that. And you don't bring it up with him. You don't clarify the issue. No, the imam brought it up with himself. Said, this is what you're doing. Can you explain it for me? So if we're not sure about something, we need to let the other person know, I'm not sure about this. And believe it or not, a lot of issues would be solved if we were able to scrutinize what we say before we say it. So, getting back to our main point, muraqabah, it has to encompass our whole life. When it comes to certain issues, it's very easy for us because we're already trained ourselves. But when it comes to other issues, it's very difficult. Sometimes respecting other individuals gets very difficult. Right? And I'm saying this as a person who strives to respect his parents. Sometimes it's not even about what you say. Sometimes the way you sit there will bother them. You need to watch out for that. Sometimes a face you make will bother them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you, you cannot do that. Your mother and father have simply done too much for you to bother them. Whatever may do that, you have to stay away from it. Sometimes that gets very difficult. It gets very precise. You need to pay a lot of attention. And it takes a lot of practice, brothers and sisters. The first day, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be like once you go home and you start talking to someone, before every sentence you say, before every thought that comes to your mind, you think about it. No, it's not going to happen. But once you practice it, then you'll establish that attribute. I remember I had a friend of mine where he was, we were classmates, and we went to this akhlaq session, this teacher of akhlaq, who I told you about, or the person who, whatever we asked, he told us to stay away from what is haram and do what is wajib. Right? Whatever you asked him, he said, do taqwa, have taqwa, it will be solved. And so he actually tried to practice. And I remember he was telling me, he's like, when we're together and someone makes a joke, before laughing at that joke, you know, when someone makes a joke, it's like a sudden thing, you know? That's why we laugh, right? Psychologists say that. The reason why you laugh is because you're surprised. Okay? So it's something that happens quickly, right? But he says that before I laugh at that joke, for 1 second I think, before I do that. And that takes practice. But once you reach that point, not only in terms of living a religious life, but even if you're non-Muslim, if you can have that attribute in you, in your life, it will make a big change. There have been times where I saw my friend, this friend of mine, we were in a big group, right? Someone came up, there was this meeting. Someone came up, they took the mic, and honestly, what they said was, it was very silly, right? What they made a suggestion. Someone came up and made a suggestion. And so with this group that we were, not HOSA students, other people, right when he made that suggestion, 90 people, 100 people started laughing. Who were they laughing at? At this poor guy that made that suggestion. And honestly, I'm being very honest, it was very difficult to not laugh at what he was saying. Okay? So it was a laughable thing to say. Okay, that's a given. But when I looked around, I saw all these 90 people, 100 people laughing. I remember I looked back behind my left shoulder. I saw him. He was looking down. He wasn't laughing. It's very difficult to do that, but that's what we need to do in our life. When it comes to issues that get that precise, you need to scrutinize every single move of yours. Otherwise, haram will be in your life very easily. And I mentioned this the other night, but because it's important, I need to emphasize it. When we speak of giving people the benefit of the doubt, that means that you cannot attribute things to them. Okay? If he says he didn't do it, that means he didn't do it. But does that mean in practice, in your life, you have to trust that individual in the sense that, for example, if I'm leaving city, I'm leaving town, I have to give my keys and everything to that individual? No, you don't have to trust that individual when it comes to practice. That's different. You don't want to trust that individual, trust another individual. Give your keys to someone you trust more. That's fine. But if someone talks to you about that individual, or even when yourself, when you're thinking about that individual, at the end of the day, you cannot attribute that to him. If someone asks you, did he do that? I don't know. I don't know. To be on the safe side, a lot of times, like I said the other night, just staying away from other people's business, it makes things so much easier. I told you, Imam Khomeini, when he was with his son would talk about other individuals. He said, we don't need to talk about them. This is a person, brothers and sisters, this is a person that ruled a country. He governed a country with these principles. Okay, sometimes when I speak of these principles, people think that these are all nice. They're all nice and, you know, they're all quote-unquote spiritual and ethical, but life is a lot more complicated than what you think. These are principles that the Prophet of Allah governed the whole government with. He governed the Muslim society with this. How can we say that these aren't applicable to our own life, to our own small little personal life? Of course it's applicable there. Oh no, brother, life gets a lot more complicated than you think. Of course it gets complicated. But these principles, like I said, Imam Ali salawat alayhi, these are principles that he governed a Muslim nation with. Now you're telling me that these principles cannot be applied to our own little personal life, our personal life of, Khalu and Mamu and Uncle, and of course it can be applied there. Of course it's applicable there. Yes, sometimes if you're closed-minded and you don't understand what Islam has to say, you know, for example, one example is what I said. When we say don't give people the benefit of the doubt, a lot of people, what they think, what we're saying is, you should trust everyone. Everyone is a perfect person. No one does anything wrong. No, Islam doesn't say that. The Prophet of Allah, we mentioned that even though they refer to him as Udun, when people would come to him and say that, I didn't do this, he would accept that, accept what they said. Even when it was like that, but when it came to critical moments, he chose the person who he trusted the most. He wasn't simplistic, right? He trusted the person that he trusted the most, that was the most reliable. So we need to differentiate between practice and attributing something to someone. When it comes to attributing, we need to be udun. When it comes to attributing, we need to be udun. Even there's a 98% chance. You're not sure about it. The Imam Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Imam Sadiq, he mentions that when a brother of yours does something and you're not sure about what he did, you should come up with 70 excuses before attributing that to him. 70. Like I said, once again, please, brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong. When we say this, this doesn't mean that he didn't do it. What Islam is saying is, if you have a doubt, leave it at that. Does that mean you have to trust him with your life? No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to trust him with your life. You go and trust your stuff with someone who is more reliable, with someone that you don't have any doubts about. But at the end of the day, you cannot attribute anything to him. Please, brothers and sisters, understand the difference between these two. Because if we lose either of these, this principle is not, it won't be applicable to our life. If we lose the first part, which is attributing things to people without being sure, that's going to ruin our community. It's going to ruin families. And if we lose the second part, when it comes to practice, you trust the person that's the most reliable. Not the person you have doubts about. You don't want to trust him? It's fine. You don't entrust him with your stuff. Either of these two approaches we lose, this principle won't even be applicable to our life. So it has to be both of them together. And this issue it's mentioned in the Quran, I think you've all heard the famous story of the accusation that was done pertaining to one of the wives of the Prophet. Right? And you take a look at this individual, this wife of the Prophet. Other parts of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very furious when he's talking to this individual. إِن تَتُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ سَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. So, this isn't the best individual that's out there. But when the Muslimin, when something is acute, is attributed to her, when something is attributed to her, and the Muslimin do not deny it, right? When they do not deny it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tone is furious. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. What you've done is great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great in the sense that it's a huge mistake. And the Quran says, why was it that when a certain group of people, it wasn't all of you that made this accusation. The Quran says, it wasn't all of you that made this accusation. It was a certain group of people who made this accusation. Okay? But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset about. What is he saying? He says, why was it that when this accusation was made, the Muslimin just sat there, no one denied it? No, you're not sure about it? You say it didn't happen because she says it didn't happen. Because that person itself says it didn't happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for you, this is hayyin. What does hayyin mean? It's easy. It's light. Right? It's just a sentence here and there. For you, it's hayyin. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. It's huge when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to this issue in particular, it's very huge when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's no joke. So this muraqabah, like I said, certain issues, very clear to us. It's the other issues that shaitan is getting to us. So the first step was muraqabah, where you pay attention to what you're doing. The second step was muhasabah. And muhasabah will happen, it will take place on a daily basis if one starts to practice it. If one starts to actually take count of what they do in their life. But it will mean nothing if we don't do the muraqabah, right? What does muhasabah mean? You start counting, right? But if you haven't done the muraqabah to scrutinize what you've done, you will never realize that what you're doing is haram. You'll be doing the haram thinking that you're not doing anything haram. You can't count something if it's not there. If you don't see it, you're not going to count it, right? So first you need to see it. You need to scrutinize. You need to observe what you're doing. After that, the counting is very easy. And what is the third step? And these three steps have to happen on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. It has to continue. The third step is musharaqah. Like we mentioned, musharaqah means that when you're done, you understand what a huge mistake you've done. Now you're telling yourself, I'm not going to do that. It's a huge difference, right? Let me give you an example. When you go through your mistake, right? And you know, for example, I was talking to another brother yesterday in the center, and I backbited about another individual. When you know that, next day, when you walk into that situation, you walk into that situation knowing that this was a situation that I made a mistake yesterday in. It's very different. It's like walking into a battlefield, right? It's like walking into a battlefield. Imagine, if I were to walk into a battlefield, right? And there are guns being shot, bullets being shot. And I just walk in, you know, I just walk in with my abba and, you know, I'm just having a good time walking through. I'm like, yeah, I hope none of these bullets hit me. And they're going to hit you, right? But think about it. If I walk into the same battlefield, and it is a battlefield, I walk into the same battlefield, but I'm aware. I'm paying attention. I said, last night, someone shot me. Right here in the heart. Right? This time you go into the battlefield, you're watching out. Makes a huge difference. Because why? You've done that musharata. You know that when I go to the center and I'm talking to other individuals, once I get into talking about other people, I slip. Right? So you highlight that in your mind. When you highlight it in your mind, you're careful about it. You're careful to even come close to it. And if we start doing this today, brothers and sisters, we'll be a step ahead rather than doing it tomorrow. Right? Really doesn't matter what age we are. If we start doing it today, we're better off than doing it tomorrow. Right? Because every day it gets more difficult. At a very high age, the older you get, it gets more and more difficult. So the younger ones, they need to start from right now. Because these attributes, before you know it, they're part of you. These attributes, before you know it, it's already part of you. And you see that before you know it, you're a father, and these attributes are in you. And now as a father, you're supposed to guide your children. But these attributes are already in you. And as a father, the sooner we start, the better it is. So when we leave tonight, we need to make sure that we are doing this process on a daily basis. This has to be our number one priority in our life. It's not a priority that takes time. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take energy sometimes. What it does take is attention. Okay? If it takes that attention, and we're able to give it that attention, inshallah, we will reach very high levels. From these very basics, we will reach very high levels. Inshallah. We want to conclude, inshallah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to be amongst the muttaqeen. We also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees our brothers and sisters who are in pain, in agony all around the world and in Quds in particular. We also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens the return of our 12th Imam al-Mahdi salawatullahi alayhi wa sallam.